Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning. This chapter is a pretty popular chapter on child rearing. Sometimes preachers will come from this passage. How to raise children, how to keep their hearts and minds on the Lord. And I think this is a good chapter for all of us this morning when it comes to standards and rules. Some think they get to the age where they don't necessarily need a standard anymore. They don't need rules. They've lived their life. They're kind of at an age where rules aren't important to them anymore. Well, we also believe that it's important to teach young people rules and standards. We want them to grow up and pass that on to their children. If all we ever do is pass our doctrine on to the next generation, we will not pass on to them how we do what we do and why we do what we do. It is one thing to know what you believe and know another thing to know why you believe it, but it's another thing to know why you do what you do. The Bible says, Paul said, the things that you have seen in me, do. The things that you have seen and heard in me, do. So there comes a point where the rubber meets the road, where the feet hit the path. We have to walk out what we're supposed to be doing by what we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be. So our heart is important in the matter. Our heart filled with the Spirit of God, the power of God, and our lives to be influencing other lives. We should always be concerned with what God wants us to do with our lives. How does He want us to live? What does He want us to listen to? What does He want us to put before our eyes? What does He want us to, the places He wants us to go? Who are the people that should be influencing our lives? So a couple weeks ago, we started with this thought of why the rules and standards? Why all the rules? Why all the standards? Why do we have these things we teach our young people? Why do we have things we do and things we don't do? Why is it that that parents say, I want you to do this, I want you to be this? A parent, the Bible says, who lets a child, the Bible says, spares the rod. The parent that has no discipline, the parent who sets no boundaries, the Bible says, spoils the child. And you understand that. It doesn't take long to go to a store and be walking down the aisle or to be in the toy section or something of that nature and watch children with no boundaries. Children with a temper tantrum. Children that are going to do it their way and they're not going to be told what to do. Contrary to what some believe, that's a standard. That is a mindset that a parent goes into and says, this is how I'm going to raise my child. Some parents will say, this is how I'm going to raise my child. This is what we're doing and this is what we're not going to do. And some parents come from the other end and say, you know what, there's certain things I'm going to let my child find out on their own. And that is not a godly philosophy. That's not a philosophy that God puts His stamp of approval on. That's not a standard that God wants us as parents and us as grandparents and those of us as children to be living that way. And so when we come to this passage of Scriptures, we said in verse number 20 of chapter 6, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? What about these doctrines, Dad? What about these reproofs? What about these standards? What about these rules? What about these commandments that God has in His Word? What about these things? And you could call it negative, you could call it whatever you want, but the negative side of the equation is told first. He says in verse 1, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. So the first thing that Moses points out, he says, the first thing you've got to tell your children is sometimes you've got to tell them the negative side. Sometimes you've got to step back and say, listen, there was a life that we were a part of. There was a worldliness that we were a part of. There was a world culture. There was a world system that we were in the middle of. And God has brought us out of that. And I want to tell you, by looking back at that, how you can be better for God. The Bible says, shows us that the reason we've got to have rules and we've got to have standards may be different than what you grew up with. the standard that you put into place now is not based on your childhood. It must be based on the Word of God. Sometimes people grew up in different homes. Well, I never knew that. I didn't do that as a child. My parents never did that. That's not the standard. Well, my parents didn't discipline like that. My parents didn't make me dress like that. My parents let me watch this. My parents let me do that. That is not the standard of what we pass on to our children. He says very specifically here, when your children ask about the statutes, about the standards, about the rules, about the doctrines, about the Bible, when your children ask you about those things, here's what I want you to tell them. We have rules and standards because there's a worldly culture. There is a culture that is out there, the Bible says, that can hurt us, that can influence us in the wrong way for God. What we see in the culture, we see a certain type of music in our culture. We see a certain kind of dress in our culture. It's amazing when you start just kind of casually looking around what people are dressed in. It is absolutely amazing the cultural shift in what is happening with our dress standards in this country. And this isn't about specific dress. I'm not talking about specific standards. I'm not going to give you length and height and depth and all of those things of these standards. That's between you and the Lord. But the reason you need to have some kind of a standard that is different than this world is because there is a worldly culture out there. I was in Myrtle Beach this past week, and we were going into a store. And these two young ladies started walking towards us. I was actually with Brother Ryan, and we were walking into this store. And before I could get to the door to open it for them, the girl had opened the door and was coming out. And I just casually said, "You have holes in your jeans." She just kind of, "Is he talking to me?" And I said, you have some holes in your jeans. I said it to her the second time. And she, it was like that look at, do I respond to this idiot? She's just kind of like, yeah, they're supposed to be. And she just keeps walking. I thought, who goes? I just wanted to tell her, you need to go get the rest of your money back. They didn't give you all of your jeans. Like, they're paying more for those kind of jeans. Listen, I remember when I was a kid, I put holes in my jeans, but it was from playing outside. Somebody didn't do it on a machine in a factory. And when I got a hole, my mom took them and put a patch on the inside. And if they were too far gone, she would wrap them up and throw them in the trash can. Kids are paying for that look now. I thought, good night, man. You can't understand the words of the music. You can't understand why they're dressed the way they're dressed. It's unbelievable. We think about the talk. And man, if you had to keep up with the lingo today, it's impossible. That we have James. He's our, when we're with the guys on these trips, he's our resident person to give us today's lingo. You know, people, I'm not even going to get into it. It's just ridiculous, man. Some of the things that are said today, they're not bad words. They're just, it's a weird lingo. It's about the culture. It is a life mentality. It is a philosophy of life, of doing it this certain way. Listen, we've got to make sure there are rules and standards in place for our young people because there is a worldly culture that is coming after your children. It is a barrage on television. It is a barrage on social media. We've had situations where we've had to talk to young people in our school about their social media accounts because we've caught wind that certain things are being posted on social media that aren't right, that aren't godly, that aren't Christian, that aren't biblical. And we have to pull that young person in and say, look, this is a portal that the world has into your mind and into your heart, and you have to be careful with these things. I mean, I do it with my own daughters. Here's people who can follow you. Here's people who cannot follow you. Here's people that you will not follow. These are things that you will not view. And you can get to the place where you say, why all the rules? Because if there aren't rules and barriers and standards, we are falling prey to a worldly culture. Number two, we said, We've got to have all the rules and standards, because the Bible says they were not only Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt, the culture of Egypt, but the Bible says that they were all also a part of a worldly personality. Who set the world for the Israelites? It wasn't Moses at the time. At the time they were in Egypt, the person who set their culture and the personality that everything thrived around was Pharaoh. Everything revolved. He was the king. He was the Pharaoh. He was the God. He was the false idol. He was the person that you did what he said, and you did you dressed like he dressed, and you acted the way he acted, because he was the God for you at that time. And the Israelites were right in the middle of all of that. So when Moses comes along, why the commandments from God? Why the big production on the mountain? Why the Ten Commandments? Why the 370 different laws to obey? Why the standards? Why the certain way to dress? Why don't do this? And why don't go here? And why the standard of food and the standard of dress and the standard of music? And why these things? Because the Bible shows us that they were part of a worldly personality that they had to get away from. There are worldly personalities around us every day through the literature, through the computer, through the internet, through the television shows, through the movies. People say all the time, do you like such and such a movie? I say, yeah, it was all right. Do you know actor so-and-so? Don't ask me that question. I don't know any actors' real names. I'm like, yeah, that's Thor. No, that's not his real name. Oh, that's Captain America. I really think there's a Captain America, man. I'm enthralled with this guy. He's killing everybody, man. He's my hero. No, my daughters have a crush on Chris Evans. There it is. I told you. I have no idea. I don't know if it's Chris today, Theo tomorrow. I have no idea. Who else? Who plays... What's the other ones we've been going back and forth in our house about? Theo James? What did he play? Yeah, Thor. Oh, he's so... But four. He played four. I don't even know what that means. See? Even my own children, man. You're trying to set it up, man. But listen, it's in the movies. It's in the TV shows. It's in the culture we live in. We have got to be careful. And listen, I don't care about crushes on celebrity, whatever. People want to rant and rave about that stuff. All I'm saying is, we have got to be careful about these worldly personalities. I don't care if somebody watches such and such a basketball player, thinks he's a great basketball player, but there's a point where that stops. There's a point where that has to stop, and not acting like that personality, and not living like that personality, and not dressing like that personality to stay relevant in this world. We don't need to be relevant. We're pilgrims passing through. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. Heaven is our eternal home. Why the standards? Why the rules? Why do you let your children go to this point but not beyond that point? I'm going to tell you why. Because there's worldly personalities that we've got to be careful of. Number three, we said we have rules and standards because of worldly culture. We have rules and standards because of worldly personalities. But number three, the thing that catches every person who goes down this world, down this rabbit hole of the world's culture and the world's personality, we have rules and standards because of the world's bondage. Because of the worldly bondage. It is as easy as I'm standing here to see when a young person is in bondage to this world. When they're struggling, the flesh is warring against the spirit, and the spirit is warring against the flesh, and you can tell when somebody's losing the battle. The Bible says that they were under Pharaoh, the personality. They were in Egypt, the culture. But what were they? They were, at one point, were not in bondage. And at a different point in Scripture, you read, they were in bondage. There was a Pharaoh that rose up after Joseph's death that did not know the God of their fathers. And then another Pharaoh rose up, and he knew less about that God than the God of Joseph and his fathers. And every generation that we're having in this world knows less and less about the God you serve and about the Christ who died on the Calvary for your sins. They know less and less and less about it. And the reason you've got to set up rules, and the reason you've got to have a standard in your home, and the reason we have to have a standard in the church, and the reason we've got to have a standard in our homes and our schools, is because the world will take our young people bondage. And then they will get to their teens, and they will get to their 20s, and they will be the next drug addicts, the next alcoholics, and the next pornography addicts. They'll be the next prisoners. They'll be the next people. You say, well, people still can be productive. They'll be productive for the world's culture, and they'll be productive for the world's personalities, but they will not do something great for God that we want them to do. And so you might be thinking, well, I don't want to suppress my young person. I don't want to hurt my young person and their creativity, and I don't want to be one of those parents that's really, really mean. That's why I love God. Because God has all kinds of rules and standards. The Bible says God is love. The Bible shows us that God has rules and standards for our lives. Not just because of this worldly culture, and not just because of the worldly personalities, and not just because there's bondage out there, and God knows that those things will take you, and those things will use you, and those things will cost you, and those things will scar you for the rest of your life. God knows that. But can I give you three other reasons this morning why I believe we need to have rules and standards? What's the heart behind the rules and standards? If all we tell our young people, if all I do is look at my daughter and say, you can't do that, 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 that sounds like a pretty negative religion I'm trying to pass down, a negative faith I'm trying to pass to my child. Man, Dad, everything you say is what we can't do. Man, Dad, everything you say is that person's bad, and that person's bad, and that thing is bad, and that thing is bad, and that's going to hurt me, and that's going to hurt me, and that's going to take me to bondage. Yes, that is true, and that's why we have rules and standards, because of the worldly culture, the worldly personalities, and the worldly bondage that happens. But can I show you further on in this passage what God said to also tell your children? He says this, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. We were part of a worldly culture. We were under a worldly personality. And man, did that worldly personality and culture put us in bondage. It was bad, son. We thought the Egyptians were going to be nice to us. They had everything. They saved the world from starvation at one point. And we were kind of friends, and they were kind of kind to us. But down the line, like it happens with sin all the time and the culture all the time, it eventually takes you into bondage. Yes, son, that is true. But son, can I tell you something else about these rules and standards we have, and these testimonies and these statutes and these commands that God has given us? Why we have those? Not only because of the bad and not only because of the hurtful things, but look here. It says, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. Do you know why these people were to tell their children for the rules and standards they have? Yes, because we were a part of those things, and those things were hurtful, and those things did take us to a point where we never thought we'd be. But I'm telling you, the reason we live the way we do and do what we do is because we serve a powerful God. Our God is powerful. Here's what I mean. Have you ever wondered what difference it makes what you do? Am I the only one? I don't know about you, but there's times where I think, what does it matter the way I dress? What does it matter the things I watch? What does it matter the music I listen to? What does it matter in those things? Because that standard that you follow that God wants you to follow, combined with the power of God, is what shows the world why we're different. Listen, if all we ever do is dress a different way, that's not going to make a difference. If all we ever do is say, well, we don't watch that, and we do not show our children that the reason we came out of that stuff, the reason we don't do that stuff, the reason we don't talk that way, the reason we don't follow that person is because God brought us out of that life of sin. God brought us out of that life of bondage. God brought us out of that culture of personalities. God brought us out, and He shows us if we will follow Him, not only in doctrine, but in our practice, if we will follow Him, He can take that thing that you think is so insignificant, and He can show a world that He is powerful to make a difference in your life. And He can make the same difference in their life. While everybody else is in bondage, you can show people God brought you out of that bondage. God is powerful enough to take what you listen to and show somebody, the reason I don't listen to those things is because God is bigger than that and God is better than that. And I want to serve God with my life because He is powerful. The Bible says, tell your sons and daughters, when they ask about why we do what we do, when they ask about these things, yes, point them back to Egypt and say, we don't do it because of that horrible culture and that those personalities and that bondage we experience. But listen, the reason we do what we do is because we serve a powerful God. And what is insignificant to us and what is insignificant maybe in your eyes today, just such a little standard change or just a little rule that you follow and you're kind of thinking, I don't understand. God can take that little thing and with His power show great signs and wonders in this day that we live in to a world that is seeking for truth. It's not about the length of your dress. It's about the length of your dress and your character and your attitude and your spirit and the power of God that somebody says, she's different. Not because of what she's wearing, but because she's wearing something that has the power of God with it that is different than what I have. It is the way that she talks. He talks at work. It's something different. He never laughs at an off-color joke. He never stands around and curses and cusses. Well, I know a lot of good people that don't cuss. But what about somebody that doesn't cuss and curse and talk about vulgar things and they go with the power of God into that workplace? Then that person sees something is different, not only in the way you talk, but along with the power of God, makes a difference in someone else's life. That's what He's telling these people. He said, listen, we've got to go along in our lives and not only say what we don't do, but we do this because the hand of the Lord is mighty. Because the hand of the Lord brought us out of that. And the least we could do, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm here to tell you this morning, the reasonable thing for you to do, for God, picking your feet up out of the miry clay, and setting your foot upon a rock, the putting a new song in your mouth. The Bible says, many shall see it, and fear, and trust in the Lord. Listen, my friend, you doing something different, you having a different standard, you following a different rule than the world with God's power is powerful. It can make a difference in other people's lives. Isn't it amazing? He says in Psalm there, in the book of Psalms, many shall see it. It's referring to the new song He's put in your mouth. He has put a new song in my mouth. Many shall see it. How do you see a song? You see a song because the music is shown with a different power than the music of the world. Many shall see it and fear. What do you fear? You fear power. Our God is powerful. Why do we pass on our standard to our young people? Why do we have the rules for our children? Why do we set up for them things that they should do with their lives and try to guard them and guide them and direct them in their life? Yes, there's negative. Yes, there's things that God brought us out of. Yes, these things are horrible. Yes, these things will put you into bondage. But the world is in bondage, and God brought us out of that with His mighty hand. God brought us out of that with His mighty hand. Lord, show signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. Listen, Pharaoh for a time believed what God was doing. He knew it was not him. His own magicians could not replicate what was happening. The power of God was in that place. The Bible says the Israelites said, we're going to walk the right way. Because before our eyes, God showed Himself very powerful. Can I ask you a question this morning? How powerful is your God? Now, I realize if we did a study this morning, we could say that God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. So if God is all-powerful, then why aren't we making a bigger difference? And I do not believe it is because we do not have the same doctrine. I do not believe it is because we're not carrying the same Bible this morning. I believe it is not because we don't have a good church service. I don't believe it's not because you're not sincere. I believe it melts down to these statutes and testimonies and commands, these rules and these standards that we place before our children, and we place them there like it's an absolute negative. If you put a fence around your yard, you're saying something. I want to keep out the things that are out there from getting in my yard. I've seen deer up on the field. I like seeing deer from a distance. I do not want deer in my backyard. I'd be the one guy on YouTube that gets like hoofed to death by a deer. I'd be like, hey deer, how are you? And try to feed the deer, and he rams me with his horns or something, and I'm dead. That would be me. That would be my luck. I've seen raccoons around here. I do not want raccoons in my backyard. They look furry and cute and cuddly and everything. I don't want raccoons in my backyard. I've seen possum. I've seen cats and dogs, stray cats and dogs walking around. You know, none of those things end up in my backyard. For 12 years now, praise ye the Lord. You know why? Because we put a fence up to keep things out. But you know what else we do? We put up a fence to keep things in. And when my children go out into the yard, not so much now, they're a little bit older and they can handle being in the parking lot and those kinds of things. But when they were younger, we put up a fence because we want to keep them in the yard. And I knew that there was dangerous people or dangerous things out there. Listen, we can set up rules with the right spirit. We can set up a fence and say, well, that's bad, and that's bad, and that's bad, and that's not getting in here. That's great. We need to do that. We need to tell our children about this worldly culture and the worldly personalities and some of the things that you sat in bondage in. Many of you sat in bondage in this room for years and years and years, and you need to warn your children. But what about saying, look at this yard. There's a trampoline over there. There's a place to lay down on a hammock over here, and in that shed there's some toys for you to play with. Man, we can make our food on the grill here. We can have a hot tub. Man, praise you, Lord. We've got a lot of neat things inside of this yard that we can take advantage of and play with and have a good time. Young people, look at me. You need rules and standards. You need somebody guiding and guarding and directing your life. And everything in your life is not a negative. It is not, we don't get to do anything. You serve a powerful God. And that powerful God wants to take your life that is unscarred and without bondage. And listen, none of these children in this passage of Scripture here were ever in bondage. That's why the children were asking, what's up? Well, why do we have these stats? I mean, we're wandering around the wilderness here. We're doing pretty good. Why all the rules? Why all the standards? Why the statutes? Why the commands? Because there was a day when we realized bad things could hurt our lives. And I don't want you to get out there. I don't want you to get out there and let the world hurt your life. Because we serve a powerful God. Ryan, come here. James, come here. Stephanie, come here. All right, come here. Christian, Maddie, come here. Otto, come here. Jordan. All these girls right here. Come here. Miss Trout. Join the crowd. Any other children? Do I see any other children? Rachel Hederman, come here, you. Matthew, come here. Don't tell your mom to stop. Get up here, boy. I will bust you in your head. I mean, I love you. Come here, man. Moffitt, Christian, come here. Man, how many kids we have in this church? This isn't even the 4th through 6th graders. Come on up, Chubbs. No, just kidding. Any more children? Listen, I believe with all my heart this morning that this group doesn't need to always hear how bad this world is. Listen, do they need to know how bad the world is? Absolutely. There is music out there. There's a culture out there. And there are families out there. There are men out there that hurt you. There are bad, bad things. Absolutely. They need to know that the culture, some of that culture out there is bad. Is it all sin? No. We just got to be careful. When we watch a movie, sure. But we got to be careful how far we go with that. Because it's a culture. We got to be careful of those personalities. Those basketball players, those football players, those hockey players, those movie stars. We got to be careful of those personalities. They need to know how bad that stuff is. And absolutely, in your home, Deuteronomy chapter 6 says you need to talk about these things in the way, when they're sitting down, when they're rising up. They need to know those things. Absolutely, they need to know those things. You know what else they need to know? They need to know by what they're doing today and being in church, combined with the powerful God of their life, can take them and make a difference in this world. It's not just about what you don't do. Well, if we can just get that girl to the age of 18 without being pregnant. And that's sometimes our mentality. We can just get her out of the house with our fingers crossed and pray a little bit and she doesn't fall prey to the world. How about some parents? How about some grandparents getting with these young people and saying, hey, you serve a powerful God. Matter of fact, he took millions of people that were in bondage. Millions of people that were in bondage in Egypt under Pharaoh. And he took them by signs and wonders and by miracles and by disease and by plagues. And he pulled them out of that bondage. You know why? Because he's powerful. And you might think, what is this Christian thing all about? What are these rule things about? What are these standard things about? I'm here to tell you today, it's part of a powerful God. A powerful God can take those little things that you're doing by carrying your Bible and reading your Bible and praying and by separating yourself from the wrong kind of friends and by not listening to that kind of music that hurts your that puts things in your heart that ought not to be there and television shows that ought not to be there and you've got to be careful. Yes, they're bad. But we do what we do. We have rules and standards because our God is powerful. He wants to take a young man like Ryan Trout. Keep them pure and keep them clean. Not perfect, but pure and clean. Take his life someday. Change the world with him. Yes, my spirit is God. Follow that. Follow that. Amazing. You guys can be seated. Thanks for coming up. Appreciate it. Yesterday, finished this story this morning. Yesterday started out, I think I woke up at 6:45. 6:45 in the morning yesterday. We're supposed to be at the airport by, it was 8 o'clock or something like that, 8:15. God got us up and moseyed on over there and turned in the rental car and got into the terminal and they said, the flight's at A3. So before we even got to A3, they said it's A5. On our way to A5, they said it's A6. I begin to think, this is going to be an interesting day. Just just moving me around the airport like this, my foot was hurting already. I just didn't get a lot of good sleep the night before. And I thought, this could be an interesting day, God. This is, I can already tell. We sat down in A6. They came across the thing and said, we need you all to go to A3. I looked at the pastor and said, I ain't going anywhere. I said, because in 2 minutes, they're going to tell us to go to A6 again. 2 minutes later, they said, we need a... Yeah, it wasn't even 2 minutes later. They said, go to A6. And I was like, I'm already here. So I thought, man, what is going on? So these people get off the plane, blah, blah, blah. The plane is sitting there. And they said, there's a problem on the plane. Well, that's no surprise because last Sunday we were supposed to leave Lake Trobe at 12:30. We ended up leaving after 2 o'clock. I could have eaten chicken and rigatoni with you, but I had to sit down at the airport. Never mind, I'm going to get my temper under control here. I'm like, what's wrong with these Spirit airplanes? Like, are they like duct taping stuff together and then they get to the next place and, well, that fell off, so we're going to have to... We'll have to order another one. I'm like, good night. So then they say this over the thing. After we wait an hour, they say, there is a generator that we're flying from Detroit, Michigan. Detroit, Michigan is a 2.5 hour flight away. So now we're delayed another 2.5 hours at least from the hour they're telling us. I'm thinking this isn't good. Because then it's going to take them at least an hour to fix it, I'd imagine. So we're sitting there. And the whole time, I'm just laying back and just thinking, Lord, you know what you're doing. Matter of fact, everybody else is getting in a tizzy. I said, can I use your jacket, Pastor Lear? He said, sure. I took my jacket and his jacket, made me a pillow. I laid down on the floor, laid by the wall. Everybody else is just up in arms and, yeah, we got to get going. I'm just like... So, yeah, I was louder than that for sure. I woke up, I looked over my shoulder, I said, was I snoring? He said, really loud. I said, sweet. At least everybody knows I'm really relaxed. So then another hour passes, they come over to the thing and said, the flight to Lake Trobe has been canceled. It's now like 11:45. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? How am I going to get to Lake Trobe, man? So I'm waiting for contingency plans. Are they getting a different plane? Are they sending us on a different airline? And so we begin to ask questions in Spirit. Love them to death. Good prices, bad customer service. And they do not have a contingency plan. There was no other plane. They're sending a plane. There's an extra plane over here. We'll just use that one. No. So they send us downstairs. We get downstairs, and there is at least a two-hour line, maybe three-hour line. I think, we can't stand in this line. We'll never get home. Pastor Lear begins to look on his phone. He's the master at finding tickets. I thought, if there's a person in this world that can find a cheap ticket for us to get home today, it is Pastor Lear. He texts me and he says, because I was on the other side, I was just sitting down like, whatever, man, I'm just going to relax some more. He texts me and says, $600 per person to fly. The bad thing was I actually prayed about doing that. I was like... Okay, if my family doesn't eat this week or next week, if I borrow some money from some people, I can fly home. So we're like, we can't do that. And so they're getting people up there, and they're telling people, we'll give you the money back for this, and then we'll give you $50 towards another flight from a different airline. Well, $550. Okay, so we're standing in the back of this two-hour line, and we're like, this is ridiculous. I said, what about a rental car? And we just both looked at each other like, that's why we flew. That's why we flew, so that we don't have to have a rental car. They're like, So we walk over to the rental car place today. They had plenty of cars for us, so that was good. So we got in a car at like 12:30. And it was at least a 10, 11-hour drive. We knew it was going to be at least that long. I just felt like I was in like a movie, like somebody's punking me or something. Like, no, like, the way I had scripted was, we get to the airport, I eat at this little breakfast place there that I've eaten at before, and we go over, and then everybody gets on the plane, I hold Pastor Lear's hand as we take off, because I'm nervous. You laugh. When we landed last Sunday, I don't know if that dude's shift was over or what, but he dropped us out of the sky, and, like, really, really, really hard onto the landing. airfield strip thing, tarmac, whatever. I grabbed his hand. That's what I do with my wife all the time, man. I always grabbed her hand, grabbing her arm, just out of instinct, man. We hit the ground, and I grabbed his hand. I'm like, oh, man, sorry, man. I'm like, like, I was a little nervous there for a moment. So he felt awkward the whole time, so that was good. So we get in the car sitting out there. We get in the car in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We are driving here. And so I had taken some medicine that afternoon. When I got in the car, I said, I need to take my afternoon medicine. What I forgot to take out of that medicine was the medicine to relax my foot and my back. Like the muscle relaxer. That's like the magic pill. Like you take that and then everything's like, oh, I don't have a broken foot. This is great. So I take those pills, and I forgot to take that pill out of there because I was going to help Pastor Lear drive. Man, about an hour later, I really want to drive, but I can't even see straight, man. Like, I need to lay down. Like, something's not right. And I'm like, over in the passenger seat, I'm like, Pastor Lear, I got to lay back for a minute. And he's like, all right. Like, an hour and a half later, I wake up. I'm like, everything good? You all good? Man, this man drove 11 hours yesterday to get me home last night. And you know what? I got home last night and I thought, what in the world is God doing? What in the world did God have planned in all of that? And I stand before you this morning without that answer other than this. My God's powerful. And if He needs to shut down a plane, if He needs to rework everything in my life to get me in a car, get me home that way, so that I can see that He is in control of my life. Listen, young people, your life is not always going to go the way you planned. I began to coin the phrase, I've read a book a long time called Off Script. I had it all written out yesterday. Like, if I would have taken my journal, I would have wrote out how the day was going to go. I was going to get home at 1 o'clock and my family was going to attack me and hug me and love me. And we were going to have a great time and go out to dinner together after a little rest. That's the way it was going to go. Young people, it's just a lesson that I learned yesterday. That it doesn't matter what I have planned. God knows better. And it's because He's powerful. It's because He's powerful. I want to share those other two points with you tonight. I hope that you'll be here. God is not just a powerful God. He, in this passage, shows us why He did what He did and why He set up Israel the way He did and why the rules and the standards He had for Israel. That these children coming along were like, why all of this? There's no enemy around us. They're in the wilderness. They're not fighting wars yet. They're not fighting battles. They're not in bondage. So the children are going, why? And some of you young people might be in homes and think, why the rules and standards? I mean, I'm not that bad of a kid. I don't do bad things. Wait a second. God is getting you ready to do something great for Him. And He's put you in a place to show you His power to be able to do that with your life. God help us parents, grandparents, to stay on the straight and narrow, to stay with the rules and standards, to stay with God's Word, to stay with these things, not because of all the bad out there, but because of the good up there. God is powerful. We want our young people to experience that, not just the bad. We want them to experience a powerful God in their life. That's why the rules and standards. Would you stand together before a word of prayer this morning?